Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together.
Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Kristen and Shanna. And yes, Kristen is introing today.
One of the
very
switch.
Few times. And I had to sit here for a good 2 minutes to figure out what I was going to say because I don't do this. And so I was trying to plan it. But today's topic could be a sensitive one. But it's one that we thought was very important to discuss. And but before we get into that, Shanna, right now, as our listeners are hearing this, where are you at?
I am in England with my family.
You are not while we're recording this. We're recording this early, but when this episode drops, you're going to be in England, which is why we're recording all of this early.
Yes, we with my family. My husband has some work to do and a conference, and it's both our kids' birthdays. I'm like, we can't be away from our kids on their birthdays, so we brought them with us. And so, as of right now, we leave in a week from tomorrow. But when you listen to this, I will be in England. And so we have some fun things planned for them. It'll be their first time on an airplane too.
On an airplane going out of the country.
Yes.
There's a lot of firsts that are happening.
There's a lot of firsts.
And they're going
happening.
To London. They're not just going to Canada or going to Mexico or something where people start off with. You just said, let's take them across the ocean.
I mean, I gave them an English speaking country though.
That's true. That's true. So at least they can. Oh, I can't wait to hear just their experiences and how they interact with their, because kids and accents and things like that, they pick up on those things and they'll say things that you're just as an adult, you're no, please don't.
They'll probably come back with an accent, knowing them.
Probably. Ollie probably will.
So we're no longer in the IFB, so I can say this thing and know that I'm not being condemned to hell. My daughter has read all the Harry Potters and it's she loves them. And so obviously going to England for her birthday, the one thing she wanted to do was to do the Harry Potter studio tour. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, great. That can be your birthday gift. And then because I'm an epic mom, I didn't realize that they book out 6 months in advance.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, listen, I'm going to try. I'm going to keep checking back. But the chances of us getting 4 tickets is pretty slim. And so I was I was telling my husband, even if we just get one adult and one kid, you and Emma can go and me and Ollie will go to the zoo or something, or one of the million parks in England and it'll be fine. And so I did for days and days, all day long, refresh, refresh, refresh. And things would pop up and it was always just one adult, one adult, one adult. And so, she was like, would it be silly for me to pray about this? And I was like, well, Emma, do you think God thinks your prayers are silly? She's like, no. I was like, you can absolutely pray for this. Absolutely. Yeah. He delights in talking to his children no matter what it is. And so she did. And I prayed with her. And I'm not saying that just because you pray, God's okay, here you go.
Done.
But I will say, 2 days later, I wake up. And I'm refreshing the thing. And of course, nothing, nothing, nothing. And then 10 minutes later, I try again. 4 stinking tickets popped up. Kristen, on a Saturday. So
how quickly were you grabbing for your credit card?
I was get my credit card. I'm because as soon as I go to check out, it's going to be insufficient tickets, which is what I've been seeing all the time. And I was oh my goodness, my husband has to work some days. He has a conference. It has to be a weekend. But then what are the chances that it's a weekend? Because everyone's going to go. I got them.
That's so cool.
I got them.
So exciting.
I'm so excited. So yeah, we will actually, when this comes out, we will have just gone. So
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Follow my social media for my
Exactly.
daughter's reaction when she sees that she gets to go.
So does she know that you got the tickets?
She knew that I was trying to get the tickets.
But she does not know yet that you got them. When are you
She's
planning on
not.
telling her? Like that
Well,
day?
it depends. In an ideal situation, but I ordered shirts. And if she sees them, I don't know how well I can fib. So we'll see. In an ideal situation, she'll find out.
Yeah, that day.
Then yes, then it'll be so fun. But yeah,
That's so
that's
fun.
it. I don't have any plans. We have that. And then we're doing a castle tour because I'm also going and I love those things. So
Yeah.
I'm like, and they would love castles. But other than that, yeah, we'll be in England with my
Are you
family.
guys still going to be doing homeschooling while there, or are you like going to be like, nah?
Well, I'm making them work. In Texas, our spring break is this coming up week. So I'm making them work through spring break here.
Okay.
So we'll take a week off there. And
Okay,
then
good.
I'm just taking like some reading and some spelling.
Yeah.
So
But
we'll only just
also,
miss a week. Yeah.
like,
The
it's
history that they're going to learn
exactly. I was gonna say the
while being
experiences that
there.
they're going to get there are going to
They'll get a
be
history lesson, of
lifelong
course.
lessons.
Right.
That will be so fun.
But
And
yes.
they're old enough to remember, like, Ollie's old enough to like be able to remember this trip, and that's exciting.
He just wants to see the King's Guards on the horses.
Oh yeah.
So
I mean,
like,
that's an
that's
easy thing to be able
easy
to,
enough.
yeah.
Yeah.
It's like
That's
as if
right.
he's like, I want to see Big Ben. Okay, we can do
Yeah, they do. And
that.
he wants to see Big Ben. He wants to see the Tower of London. I'm like, great. We can
Yep.
all that's free to look at from the outside.
Fantastic. We can do that.
Well,
Oh,
Kristen,
that's fun.
why don't you tell our listeners about our topic for today?
Yeah. So, as I said in the beginning, our topic today can be a little bit not controversial like the last one is, but a little bit sensitive. And that is, we're going to talk about a biblical view of body image. And this one's near and dear to my heart. Of all of our episodes, I think I ended up doing a lot of the note writing for this one. And we just want to carefully be able to go through it. And we'll talk about this in the episode, but we're just so inundated with what culture says, especially as women, about what body image should be, what how we should view our bodies, and how we are bringing up our kids to view our bodies, and social media and magazines, and all of this is inundating us. And we just wanted to take this topic and approach it from what the Bible says about how we are to steward our bodies and how we are to view our bodies. And so that is our topic today. So join us and come along as we talk about a biblical view of body image.
Today, we are talking about a pretty big subject that I think, if every woman were to be honest, has struggled with it, probably still struggles with it, and has been a force that has been formative in each one of their lives. And that is the topic of body image. And so today, we wanted to talk about a biblical view of body image. Our culture is singing songs over us all the time. There's messages and true statements of identity formation that we are receiving all of the time. And it's affecting us probably more than we even realize. We're surrounded by what the ideal woman is supposed to look like. Headlines will say, "Eat this and lose 15 pounds in 2 weeks." I saw those all, and I still see those all the time in the grocery store, the stupid Woman's World magazine or whatever it's called.
In a checkout line.
Or yes, or this one workout will transform the way you look. Even ideal body standards have changed as fashion and fads change. So if you think back, like Twiggy used to be a ideal body type. Marilyn Monroe was then a ideal body type. The Kardashians are, the current ideal body type. You think back to the 90s, like the models were considered heroin chic, like where they were just emaciated. And
ideal body standards are changing with fashion. It's wild. I think we have to understand the gravity and the enormity of how easily we're influenced by culture and the way social media is a part of the fabric and the foundation of how we live. Historically, a lot of struggles would come from just looking at magazines that we could pick up and put back down and might have been a little harder to find access to at times. But now we've got our smartphones with us all the time, and they are just blaring that information and that message to us from Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all the ways that are being, we are being reinforced by this image that culture is promoting to us as an ideal and a standard that in our flesh, I think we're all driven to try and achieve or to strive after. I don't think any of us are immune to that, I think is what I'm trying to get at, is that it is in us.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, God designed the human body to reflect his divine authority and creativity. He breathed life into and blessed the bodies of the first man and woman. God specifically created Adam and Eve to spread the kingdom of God throughout the world, and their whole being was a testament to that commission. But in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve disobeyed this call by using their bodies to rebel. They sinned against their maker and suffered the consequences. They looked at their bodies with shame and hid from God. Under the curse of death, their bodies would experience pain, weakness, aging, and disease. And we still feel the weight of disobedience that our first parents committed. The sinful nature we inherited and the fallen world in which we live continues to damage how we view our bodies. But the gospel of Jesus Christ provides a freeing and comforting message to us who struggle with body image.
Yeah. I told Kristen I was going to add a little caveat here, because I totally affirm everything that is that she is saying, but we also want to be really sensitive to people who maybe need to seek professional help for severe body image disorders, right? Like one of the things I had to walk through in counseling, I was diagnosed with body dysmorphia. And so in addition to the work of Christ in scripture, yes and amen, and we're going to get into all of this, counseling really helped me. And so we want to say that we understand this is not always a black and white issue, and that if you need to seek professional help, please know that there is freedom in doing that. So when we talk about body image is defined as a person's perception of their aesthetics, right? The beauty of, or the sexual attractiveness of one's own body, or what they think about their own body. So Kristen did a lot of research and writing on this episode. And so I'm going to chime in here and there, but I'm really going to let her kind of run with this. So do you want to maybe give like a little origin of the body image? Yeah.
So the phrase body image was first coined by the Austrian neurologist and psychoanalyst, Dr. Paul Schilder. I don't know how to say his name, but we're going to give it our best go. In his book, The Image and Appearance of the Human Body, and it was published in 1935. Human society has at all times placed great value on the beauty of the human body, but a person's perception of her own body may not correspond to what other people are thinking. Mm-hmm. And so it was interesting to me that that's kind of when the idea of body image was first coined, that it was a fairly recent, you know, within the last 100 years, that idea of body image was first coined.
Yeah. Yeah, there are many reasons, right, for negative body image. And I think it was so beautifully summed up at the beginning when you were talking about we're still feeling the weight of the disobedience from Adam and Eve and the effects that that have on our bodies. And so one of the ways, I think a really big way, is cultural pressure, right? You may struggle with body image because of pressure from family or society. Maybe your mother confronts you with endless questions about your size. And so as a result, you feel the burden to conform to her expectations. Or culturally, your body might not fit what is deemed attractive, air quotes over here. You may feel the pressure to match what everyone else looks like around you. And this standard leaves you feeling insecure and anxious, always striving to measure up, to prove your worth. But it's helpful to remember that God chose you before the foundation of the world to be his adopted child, and that your body belongs to him, not the world.
I think sometimes another another reason for negative body image is turning to idols. We may struggle with body image because of idolatry. Our celebrity culture and social media often exposes our misplaced trust and desire for idols. We seek images of perfect bodies to worship. We follow attractive and fashionable people to obtain their beauty. We compare ourselves to them and hope that we can one day realize this desire. But idols will only let us down, leaving us empty. If we're not careful, our body image can become the idol we worship, stealing our heart's attention from God. In fact, the conversation about body image is much less about our bodies and much more about our hearts.
That makes me so uncomfortable.
It's a hard one, right?
It is. Ultimately, this conversation isn't even about our bodies. No. It's about our hearts.
It's about what our hearts are desiring and why they're desiring those things. And we'll talk a little bit later about, you know, other sides of it. But
yeah. Another thing could be aging. Perhaps you struggle with body image because of aging. As the years go by, you see more gray hairs and wrinkles. You encounter weaknesses in your body. You face the fact that your body's not youthful and energetic like it once was. But know that each year is another year of walking with the Lord. The signs of aging are evidence that God has carried you throughout your spiritual journey and is bringing you into maturity in Christ. So even though your body's aging, the passing time signifies your sanctification and the renewing of your spirit into the image of God.
Another one would be possibly disability, injury, or disease. You may struggle with body image because of a disability, an injury, or a disease. You encounter the limitations of paralysis. You might be dependent on medication to relieve the debilitating aches in your body. You may have recently received a serious diagnosis from your doctor and are fearful of what your body will endure as a result. We live in a fallen world and spiritual evil. Knowing that our bodies are designed to live fully for God has sought to stop that calling. But Jesus was victorious over that. When he gave his life on the cross, he defeated sin and death forever, and he'll come again to fully end Satan's destruction on our bodies. Until then, Jesus continues to sustain and preserve you through this hardship.
Yeah, I think this last one that we probably need to address, because I do think it kind of affects the way people see their bodies, and it's a really sensitive topic, and so we want to handle it that way, but it's physical abuse. You may struggle with body image because of physical abuse. You look at the scars of your past as reminders of the turmoil that you experienced. You grieve the attack of evil that stole your beauty and your confidence. And you may feel shame towards your body and hide it from the view of others. But man, please know that Jesus, your Savior, has also mourned your scars. Jesus identified with the unjust abuse you encountered, for he was also cruelly beaten and hung on the cross for our sins. But after this suffering, Jesus resurrected in honor and majesty. His body, with scars where his nails once pierced his hands, was glorified. So through faith in Jesus, you too will be resurrected and transformed, reflecting his radiance. Your scars will be images of beauty and reasons to give God praise.
I think when we talk about body image, one important thing to focus in on is where are we getting our identity? This tends to come up often.
It's a common thing for us.
And so we want to make sure that we're not just focusing on behavior modification or what we're doing outwardly in our activity and behavior. The concept of identity is who we and who we are is so foundational. Unfortunately, our hopes are often misplaced. Our functional saviors are often different from what we proclaim, even as believers, I'm often functioning out of a different savior mentality that is based on self-sufficiency or my own efforts rather than knowing and acknowledging that Jesus is where I find my worth. Mm-hmm. So we want to orient our lives around the greater hope and the more stable and steady promise of the finished work of Christ, so that when my weaknesses are revealed, I know that God's perfect power is made evident in my weakness. Mm. I don't have to be afraid of my weakness. I don't have to be afraid of flaws and imperfection. We can hide ourselves in the promises of Christ.
Yeah. To get an accurate sense of self, we have to look at Jesus. We fix our eyes on him, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him scorned the cross and scorned shame. Jesus bore our shame, so we don't have to live under that crushing weight of culture shame that tells us that we should be a certain way. If I'm treasuring my body image, if I'm worshiping how I look, my affections are going to go towards what has my heart, what has my allegiance, what has my focus. As we say a lot around here, we become what we behold. And, you know, the gospel sends a different identity message entirely. We're not looking externally for what others think of us, and we're not looking internally to what we think about ourselves. We want to look eternally into the promises of God that are true in Jesus. We want to anchor ourselves firmly and securely in him and ask that the Spirit would help us walk by faith in that way.
So we know that one of the things that is pulled out is our body is a temple, right? Mm-hmm. But from there, many Christians fall back into cliches and Bible verses that they've taken out of context. Mm-hmm. Some of us think body image struggles are just vanity. Some feel guilty for even thinking about their body. Mm-hmm. But as believers who've placed our eternal hope in Jesus, we're not immune to body image struggles. I think that's one of the biggest things that I wanted to address with this topic, is to recognize that I think a lot of people struggle with it. We're not immune to it. They're part of our broken world, in a world that is hyper focused on the physical body. And I think it's just going to get worse, honestly. Mm-hmm. We are, even if you try to avoid it by setting limits in place in your life, we're still going to be bombarded on a daily basis with images and headlines that tell us what to look like, what to eat, and how to work out. But ultimately, our identity must be rooted in Christ, not in what the world or others around us tell us our body should look like.
Mm-hmm. But why do I get this one?
Exercise is good.
Why do I get this one? Exercise is good. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, for the training of the body has limited benefit, but godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So here, Paul is reminding Timothy that godliness is what matters most in this present life and the life to come, right? Exercise is an amazing gift when it's done with a joyful heart and a true approach to health. But when exercise impedes our holiness, it's time to take a step back. I think personally, I can attest to this, you know, for a long time, like I was like a health and fitness coach, and I was really, my body dysmorphia, actually, true story, did not exist before that. And I was like, just surrounded by these people, I'm saying healthy in quotes, who looked a certain way. And like, that was what health looked like. Mm-hmm. And so it, that when you see that all the time, then that's what you think that you yourself should look like. And so, mm-hmm. That literally is what started my, I actually went in about 6 months ago and started like unfollowing hundreds of people mm-hmm. that I follow. 'Cause I'm like, none of this is, healthy for me mentally. It is, I realized that I made body image, not health, an idol. They're not the same things.
They are not the same things.
So, you know, reading the word and praying have to come before the gym, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think, you know, physical fitness and clean eating are not number one priorities in God's book. despite what culture will have us believe. I do think that we should steward our bodies well. I do think that that is what we're called to. But that is not what God is most concerned with. We don't need to work out every day of the week or have six packs. Well, we'll never have a six pack. Kristen,
you can so tell I wrote this.
Kristen said, and I quote, "We don't have to force ourselves to run a half marathon because running's awful."
We don't have to force ourselves to run a half marathon when we don't even enjoy running because running is awful.
That's what she said. Physical training of the body can only go so far, but godliness, on the other hand, is with us forever. I actually just had a doctor's appointment this week, and my doctor is so great, and she's so focused on my mental health as well. And she told me she was so proud of me because she knows I had body dysmorphia, always checks in with me as far as like how I'm doing with that, you know. And I told her, I said, you know, I have realized, like, I helped my in-laws move, and they were all like, "Shanna, let the guys get that. Let the guys get that." And I'm like, "Man, let me try." And so, like, I'm lifting like all these heavy boxes, and then we go to like move their treadmill out of the house, and Johnny Eric was like in the truck stacking like these massive heavy boxes up for them. And so it's me and my brother-in-law in there, and they're like, "We'll just wait for Johnny Eric." And I'm like, "Let me think and try." And so we got that treadmill. He and I lifted that treadmill and got it outside. And then John Eric and him took it up the ramp into the U-Haul because I was not doing that. But I'm like, that is what I'm working out for. Like, it is health, and it is strength, and it is so I can sit on the floor and play with my grandkids without my knees breaking. It is not how I look, and so that other people will accept me for how I look.
Yeah.
And so,
and it's a hard, it's a hard line to walk, right? Because you feel like either way you can fall into a ditch. You can either fall into the hyper focused on your body, and that's the only purpose of eating well and working out, and or, you know, just moving and exercising, and that becomes your focus. Or you can fall to the other side of where you don't take care at all of your body and what you're eating or any movement that you're doing. And that's not good either. We're not advocating for that side either.
Yeah.
Let us hear us when we talk about biblical body image. We're not saying, "Oh, just never work out and eat pizza and chips and candy all day." And then you won't struggle with body image, because you still will. you still will. But it's a hard line to walk.
It is.
Of both
and I
of
think
them.
It's also, we say this all the time, but it is a heart issue, but it's also just surrounding yourself with people who love you and can help call you into something greater, right? So we know what the culture says about our appearance. I'm even seeing it in this whole Taylor Swift era. Did I use that term right? Era. I'm even seeing it in young girls. I mean, you always see it in young girls. We always see it. I think, especially with social media and telephones and things like that, but like, they want to look like her and they want to be like her. And so I'm finding like myself having to really speak into those dark places of how it just, man, they are forming our kids at like 8, 9, and 10 years old.
At a
and
very
so we
young
know
age.
what culture says about that. But what does God say? What does God say about our appearance?
Yeah, so God is more concerned with our hearts than our outward appearance. We see that most plainly with the selection of David as the next king of Israel.
Yeah.
1 Samuel 16:7 says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or his stature, because I have rejected him. Humans do not see what the Lord sees, for humans see what is visible, but the Lord sees the heart.'" So we don't have to look a certain way for God to see us or use us. What God cares about more than anything is our hearts. So when I find myself tempted to restrict my food intake unhealthily, or to believe the lie that I'm weak because I don't adhere to a regular exercise routine, it's good to remind myself of this. What is my heart's motivation behind eating healthy and exercising? What drives me to do these things? Is it godliness or something else like public perception, approval, or physical beauty?
Mm-hmm.
Another passage that we can look at is Isaiah chapter 3, because it's a very vivid example of how God views vain women. And I think vanity and modesty is something that is spoken about a lot for women.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes not in the right context. So
not the right context and not helpful.
Right. And not helpful
in a lot of ways. Yeah.
Isaiah 3 is a sign of a decadent society and unstable women. It's a sign of the disintegration of a nation. The daughters of Zion, the Jewish women, had become like the societies around them, and the Canaanite societies were pagan. They were carnal, and the Jews turned to worshiping God, the Jews turned from worshiping God to worshiping the Canaanite idols. And Isaiah lived 700 years before Christ was born, and he prophesied about judgment to come. The southern kingdom, Judah, was about to go the way of the northern kingdom, which had become apostate, and they became idolaters even sooner than the southern kingdom had. Mm-hmm. They'd already been taken captive by Assyria, and Judah was about to be taken captive by Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, so they've turned from God to serving other gods. And one of them for these women was the god of beauty. So that's to kind of set up this passage.
Mm.
Do you want me to read it or would you like
to? Yeah, sister, you keep going.
Here we go.
You keep going.
Isaiah 3, 16 through 24. So it's a bit of a passage. So hang out with me. Moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are proud and walk with their heads held high in seductive eyes and go along with mincing steps and tinkle the bangles on their feet, therefore, the Lord will afflict the scalp of the daughters of Zion with scabs, and the Lord will make their foreheads bare. In that day, the Lord will take away the beauty of their anklets, headbands, crescent ornaments, dangling earrings, bracelets, veils, headdresses, ankle chains, sashes, perfume boxes, amulets, finger rings, nose rings, festal robes, outer tunics, cloaks, money purses, hand mirrors, undergarments, turbans, and veils. Whew. Now it will come about that instead of sweet perfume, there will be putrefaction. Side note, putrefaction is the smell of rotting flesh. So instead of that sweet perfume, it's the smell of rotting flesh. Instead of a belt, a rope. Instead of well-set hair, a plucked out scalp. Instead of fine clothes, a donning of sackcloth, and branding instead of beauty.
Hmm.
So these women thought they were so beautiful and so attractive, and they deliberately called much attention to themselves. And God saw this as very ugly. It's not a pretty picture, and neither is it pretty to God when we love ourselves and spend inordinate amounts of time and money on our appearances or obsess about our bodies, calling attention to ourselves. There's a quote from a book about modesty, and this is that quote. So, if you have a heart that loves God, you will want to please God. According to the Bible, the heart is the part of you that thinks your thoughts, feels your emotions, and makes the choices of your will, and lives on after your death. A heart that is concerned about pleasing God will express itself modestly by what you think, do, say, and wear. True modesty can only come from someone who is more concerned about showing the world how great God is than how great she is.
Mm.
So true modesty doesn't come from changing your wardrobe. It comes from having your heart changed. If you want to be modest, or you could say if you want to not be vain, God must be first in your heart. When you choose to be immodest or depressed or withdrawn because your body doesn't look like you want it to, then you're choosing your own sinful desires over God's desires so that he is not first in your life. The New Testament emphasis regarding vanity is modest clothing and how you look, how you act, and good works.
Yeah, I know, I guess, a couple of places in the New Testament, right? You have Romans 12 and 2 Timothy. The Bible describes the vain woman as a lover of self. So it's a form of pride, right? Mm-hmm. They're not content, not grateful. They have a lust for beauty and they're not motivated by love for God or love for others. And so I really love what you said, because I mean, I would like to do a whole episode on modesty, especially coming from the background that we did. True modesty doesn't just happen when you change your clothes. It's a heart issue. But that's not often focused on. So I love that you said that. And I definitely think we should expound on that at some point.
At some point, yes.
At some point in the near future. In the near future. One of my favorite things, because like I'm a writer and I like to write things. And then Kristen's like, but practically speaking, how does this apply? We do great together. So practically speaking, what are some application points for us as we're thinking about like a biblical view of body image? Because it's so countercultural. It's so against everything that we think, you know?
Yeah.
So what, give me some practical applications.
Practical applications. Well, just a few that I jotted down is, so when we're tempted to think, if I could just be 10 pounds lighter, then I could be satisfied. Instead, we can think, I have the freedom in the Lord to diet and lose 10 pounds. But whether I do it or not, Father, please help me be like Paul and learn to be content. When I'm tempted to obsess about how my thighs are misshapen, instead I should think, well, these are the thighs that God gave me. They look like my mother's. Thanks, Mom. Thank you, God, that no matter what they look like, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And when I'm look in the mirror and I say, I hate what I look like, instead I should think, Lord, forgive me for being so self-focused and ungrateful. I'm praising you for what I look like.
I think it'd be really helpful to like have these. Like, it's kind of like a reframing of the mind here. And like to have this maybe written down on a sticky note on your mirror.
Yeah. If there's something that you know that you struggle with, think through of how you can reframe this of how God views you and how you can use that to glorify him and to love him more and love others more.
Yeah.
I think one thing that I've thought through, and I feel like we've discussed this as well, and even though I, as of yet, do not have children or a girl, I think how we as women and specifically mothers, how we talk about our bodies, especially in front of our kids, affects them as well. So if they are hearing us disparaging our bodies, I think it's very easy for them then to grow up disparaging their own bodies. And if we're, you know, looking at it and saying, oh, my, you know, my stomach doesn't look like the way I want it to. Kids probably as of yet, you know, don't necessarily pay attention to that stuff, but they'll learn it and pick it up pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's definitely, my husband gets an earful from me, but it's behind closed doors in our bedroom after our kids go to bed. Like that's our rule. I will not talk about myself or my body in front of my kids. Like I will not do it. And then if I ever hear, I mean, because there has been times, it's opened up really great conversations with my kids, the way they see other people, or the way they see themselves. And it's a really, really great opportunity to point out the Imago Dei in themselves and in others. And, and so I always take those moments. I always pause and take those moments because I'm hopeful that by retraining their thoughts and their hearts now, that will serve them well, because I understand that my kids are, they're all kids are going to be fighting an uphill battle when it comes to this. Like if anything, technology is just getting better. And these things are going to be more in their face than they even are in ours, you know?
Well, and so, if you think about it, to deviate yet again, when you talk about technology, like we battle real people. And even though like real people being photoshopped and that technology was kind of, I think back of like what we dealt with probably growing up wasn't necessarily social media. We didn't see it. The internet, I mean, we weren't on the internet that much to be able to have that influence until we were in college, really. Mm-hmm. And so photoshopping on magazine stands or anything like that, having seemingly perfect bodies. But what our kids and future generations will be dealing with are computer generated body images. Yeah. You know, people that
they look,
they aren't even attainable, but they aren't a real person, but they look real.
Yeah.
Right. And so
AI, they look,
it's crazy.
Real.
So I think it's a good thing to think through, and like you said, you know, take advantage of the times when you do have those opportunities to speak to your children about it and about what having a good biblical body image is, and encouraging them to, you know, steward their bodies well. And mm-hmm. I mean, my
for
brother,
health reasons, like,
yeah, my brother and sister-in-law ran a 5K on Thanksgiving. Brad and Johnny did, and like their kids all ran it with them too.
So
and like that was a good way of like the family
getting healthy,
you know, doing good physical exercise.
Yeah, we have a gym membership, but I really love working out at home. And so my kids see me like all the time mm-hmm. working out at home. They know that it is like at least 5 days a week, I will spend at least 30 minutes, sometimes a little longer, but at least 30 minutes. And they know mom's going to work out. Like they see it as a daily rhythm that I have, mm-hmm. a daily habit, but it's never, I ate this burger, I have to go work out. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And so I want them to be healthy and I want them to exercise. I just want to be part of their normal daily routine.
Right.
And not, fixated and made an idol,
mm-hmm.
you know? Man, we have a lot we could say about this.
We should probably land the plane, though.
In conclusion.
Go ahead. So just like Michelangelo did not haphazardly paint the Sistine Chapel, God did not accidentally form you.
Mm.
There were no mistakes made when he created you. Instead, scripture tells us that we are remarkably and wonderfully made, that God knit each of us together in our mother's womb. And I think everyone's pretty familiar with that passage.
Mm-hmm.
Like a potter molds clay, God molded you. He drew your smile upon your face, determined your eye color, and designed your body just as he desired it to be. Our bodies were made by God, and therefore our bodies are good. Friends, you are beautiful because you have the privilege of bearing the very image of God.
What a gift.
In a world of brokenness, our image is something some of us believe we can control. It's something that we can channel our attention to so as not to feel the pain and brokenness in other areas of our lives. There will always be something you are not satisfied with. There will always be another accepted, perfect way to look. You will always be chasing after one standard after another, only to remain unsatisfied and displeased. Mm. Instead, our focus should be focused on our sanctification. So let us be reminded of the gospel in our fight with our body image. May God help us not be slaves to our worldly pursuit of perfection, but let us rest in the perfect image that Christ has restored to us by his own blood. May we rest in Christ who has secured us eternally to the Father, where there will no longer be any battles of this world, and let our hope and strength to battle against our struggle with image even now be grounded in Christ's victory.
Hmm. That's so good. I love the idea of thinking that our body is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that changes perspective and the way that we look at it and the way that we steward it.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that this was a really encouraging conversation. There is one resource I do want to recommend is by the Daily Grace Co. It's a prayer for body image journal. And so it's really, I don't have it, but I do think I'm going to order it. It's like a prayer journal that helps you kind of reorient your heart back to the gospel, back to who God sees you as and who God says that you are. And so I think we could all use that sometimes. Mm-hmm. Thanks for this conversation and this idea for the episode.
You're welcome. It was a fun one to put together. It was convicting. It was, you know, just, we always talk about how so often we learn so much as we are studying and preparing for these and putting these together. And so,
yeah,
this was a one that was convicting for me as well. So,
yeah.
Well, friends, until next time, bye.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.